Good morning to everyone. Certainly glad to have you out this morning. We do have a little lesser number. We had 49 in the first service this morning, but as Chris says, we're little but we're mighty. And I thought the song service was awful good for the amount of people that we had here to participate, and I appreciate that. Appreciate Andy's good prayer. It's always encouraging to have someone like Andy to pray for you, other brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for you, and I am encouraged by the presence of each and every one. We have been blessed with a very beautiful day, and we're entering into the fall time of the year, and it brings much beauty to us. Some people say that they get a little depressed heading into winter because they know what's after this, but I say enjoy today, enjoy the moments that are beautiful, and don't worry too much about the future. Just focus on the beauty of this day and enjoy this day, and God will provide what you need in the future. As I thought about a lesson for this morning, this is going to end up being a three-part lesson, and I hope to, over the next couple of weeks, to complete it. I thought about in relationships a lot of times what causes problems is expectations. So I throw the question out, what are your expectations? Sometimes things are said, sometimes things are indicated that may cause someone to expect something that it was not intended for it to be that way. And then when that expectation is not fulfilled and it don't go as someone thought it might, then there's a letdown and there's a pullback or there's a contraction because the expectation was disappointing. And as I think about that, I thought about when I first came to preach here, and I was talking to the men of the congregation about preaching here on a full-time basis. Corey made the comment, and it really stood out in my mind, that what causes a lot of problems in relationships of any kind, whether it be with employers and employees, whether it be with a church hiring someone, whether it be someone, your co-workers, whether it be your spouse, whether it be your parents or your children, a lot of times what causes problems in those relationships is because the expectations are not made clear up front. In other words, we get so far along into the relationship and what we expected was going to happen didn't happen. So therefore we're disappointed or we're let down, if you will, and maybe sometimes discouraged. And I thought about how important that is, that we understand and have expectations one of another and learn to be dependent upon each other and those expectations happening the way that they should and the way that they're supposed to. And then I thought about a relationship with God, and I asked this question, what are your expectations? So this first lesson this morning, I thought I could put all this into one, but there was no way. I started working on it that way, but I'm going to ask this morning, what are your expectations of God? And next week, I'm going to pose the question, what is God's expectations of us? And the following week, the Lord willing, it will be, what should our expectations be of each other as a family of God, as a local congregation of His people? And if we can kind of get it in our mind how expectations work and how that they should work, I think it will benefit all of us to ponder on these things and realize that sometimes we expect things that God never intended for us to have. In other words, He knows what's best for us, and what we think that we should get, maybe He knows somewhere down the road that there's going to be something even greater or better for you. And I found myself in positions a lot of times when I was let down a little bit because I had an expectation and it didn't come to be. And then later on, I would see the big picture that God was in control of the situation all the time, and this was what He wanted for me. So our expectations as it pertains to God should be godly expectations first and foremost, and they should be not limited. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy in that we limit ourselves, and by doing that we also tie God's hands and say, God, you can only do so much. Your hands are tied, you can only do so much, when that's a falsehood. God can accomplish great things through all of us if we will expect Him to. sometimes what we expect is a lot lesser than what God wants us to do. Now, I want you to really digest that and process that, because it took me a long time to figure this out. Sometimes what we expect is less than what God wants for us. In other words, God's got a bigger plan for us than we have for ourselves. And most people, they're their own worst enemy. And I can honestly say I have been in that position to where I felt like I was my own worst enemy. That I had lower expectations than other people had of me, because other people showed more confidence in me on a particular topic, whether it be preaching the gospel or whatever it might be, than I had in myself. So what it was is I just had lower expectations of myself than what those people had, and now I know than what God had. And sometimes we're going to touch on the idea, when we say a prayer, it don't go any higher than this ceiling, because we're not really expecting God to answer it. You ever think about that? I'm going to give the example of my brother. Well, my brother Ray, last year we was in the crisis with him, and he's out working every day now. And when I prayed, I had great faith and confidence and expectation that God could answer that prayer. Well, my brother Ronnie, this year he's battling cancer. And of course, he's been at that a little longer than I had thought. You know, when you're not the one taking the chemo, it doesn't seem like it's been that long, but it's been about 90 days that he's been doing that and dealing with the sickness that comes from that. But now I talk to him Wednesday, and I say, in my mind, I thought, well, I wasn't expecting this quick of a response, God. I prayed with expectation that you could deliver, but man, this was fast. This was quick. This was really good, and I'm so happy. That should build our faith and our confidence in God, and to have those And if it's something that we ask for and it's not quickly answered, or it's not quickly given to us in the way that we thought that it ought to be, then there's maybe a reason why God is holding off on that request or that petition from us. And we have to respect and honor God's timing on things. We have to respect and honor His wisdom of knowing when it would be best for us to receive that blessing or that gift. I know people that have worked for other people that wanted to venture out on their own. Well, Andy just recently done this, but in other cases, my brothers, they worked for a company for a long time. They kept wanting to venture out on their own. They kept wanting to do it, and they would hold off. They had reserves. They had doubts. They had questions where they could do it. Well, it come down to a point in their lives to where that business was going to be consumed by another business that the management didn't see eye to eye, so they had to make a decision. And they have flourished, they have prospered, and thanks be to God for that. I'm thankful for that. Their business is thriving. And they'll say today, I don't know why we didn't do it quicker. I don't know why we didn't do it quicker, because they probably had some doubts or some reserves about that. Maybe they weren't dependent enough upon God's plans for them, and they was only depending upon themselves. Now, can you imagine that if I only depend upon myself and I'm not including God in the decision-making process, whatever it be, whether it be going out on your own in a business, venture, whatever it might be, if I'm not including God in it, then that's almost like telling God, I don't expect anything of you, God, isn't it? And we need to have the mindset and the mentality of thinking anything that we endeavor to do in this life, that God can accomplish that through us if we're expecting that of Him and want that from Him, and it's what's best for us. And sometimes, again, we may not get just exactly what we want when we think we ought to get it, but it's because God knows that there's something bigger, there's something better, there's a better purpose that He has for us. One of the first things that we must learn as Christians to expect God's blessings and His goodness to be revealed unto us and through us is we must have a willingness to follow His instruction. And I think people miss the boat a lot on this. You must be willing to follow if you expect God to lead. And by that I mean, if we're going to discount God and His ability to deliver on our expectations, we might need to look at our lives and ask ourselves, well, how am I delivering on my end of our relationship with God as a Christian? Am I holding up my end of the deal? Because the Bible tells me, and there's a lot of biblical examples of where God has clearly blessed those who follow after His commandments. So the question that we might need to ask if we're wrestling with that is, am I willing to follow? Am I willing to submit to the will of God? And then if I am, then I can expect the good blessings that He pours out upon His people. So many times I think people have that kind of mixed up and they don't understand. There's an example of how this works over in Joshua chapter 6, beginning in verse 1 through 21, which I'm not going to read all of due to lack of time. We know the story that God told Joshua to take the children of Israel and march around the city of Jericho 7 times because they were wondering how they were going to overthrow this city. And He said, the walls, if you'll do what I say and make this shout, the walls will fall flat down. You see, man sometimes has a problem understanding, we do, and I'm guilty as anybody, of understanding with things that to us seem impossible, God says are possible. And therefore, if I'm putting my confidence in myself, I may not even get out of the house of a day. You know, I may just say, well, I'm not going out today. I might be involved in an accident. Something bad might happen to me, so I'm not even going out of the house today. But if I'm putting my confidence and my faith in God, and He's telling me these are the great things that you'll accomplish with me at the helm, with myself following God, then I'll be more apt to go out and do the things that God wants me to do. And Joshua, the reason he received the good blessing and Israel received the blessings that God wanted them to have was because he was obedient to what God told him to do. And while they were going around and around the city of Jericho all those times, there was patience being developed. People were probably laughing at them and making fun of them. Well, look at them idiots. They think that because they're going to walk around that city 7 times that it's just going to be surrendered unto them and the walls are going to fall down and they're going to be able to invade that city. Patience was being developed. God was developing patience in His people to learn to say, God, my expectations, if I do what you've told me to do, is that I will accomplish what you told me I can accomplish. And we really have a problem with that. We're a society today of instant gratification. And I would dare say that if God told us that for something to happen for this church to grow to 200 in the next 6 months, we had to go out here and walk around the building 7 times, some of us would say, no, that's not for me. I just don't believe that. I can't have any confidence in that. And I know that's a hypothetical. But when God tells us something, we can have a sure confidence and expectation of what He tells us as long as we're doing it the way that He says. And I think part of the reasoning for the amount of times that they had to go around was that they would learn discipline, they would learn self-control, and they would learn patience, and they would see that God would deliver upon their expectations if they had it. And we too might learn something from that, mightn't we? We can have high expectations of God because God can deliver high expectations. He can deliver it, man. Don't ever doubt where He can deliver anything that He says. But the point is there's all kinds of Old Testament examples, not just Joshua, of how people, they had expectations of God because they believed in God and they put their faith and confidence in God and they didn't put their faith and confidence in themselves. Because by man's reasoning, Abraham wouldn't have took Isaac up to offer him on the altar because he'd been told that through his seed all nations would be blessed and that was his only son. By man's reasoning, you would say, well, I can't do that, Lord. But Abraham had confidence in God that God was going to deliver upon what he told him that he would deliver on, so he went about doing what God instructed him to do. And again, we can learn obedience from these examples. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they told Nebuchadnezzar, they said, we're not going to fall down and worship that golden image that you made because we're going to serve our God. And if it be His will, He'll deliver us from that fiery furnace. And if it's not His will, we're willing to die, but we're not going to lose our loyalty, our reverence, and our respect for the God that we serve to serve some man-made idol. So what happened? He delivered them, didn't He? Their expectations wasn't even that high because they said, we'll just go die. We're willing to die if that's what it takes. They just said, if it be His will, we'll be delivered. And if not, we're willing to perish for the cause of God. What happened? Sometimes our expectations of God are too low. We want to expect of God sometimes what we expect of men. Men are fallible. They're subject to let us down, aren't they? I remember one time having a conversation with a brother in Christ, and this young lady in the church had left her husband, and I said, I can't believe she did that. I never would have thought it. And he said, don't forget you're dealing with humanity. We are dealing with humanity when it's us and someone else, but when it's us and God, we can expect great things and we can accomplish great things if we do have high expectations. Let's make a few points about this expectations of God. For the Lord corrects those He loves just as a father corrects a child whom he delights. That's revealed in Proverbs 3:12. And we can read in the New Testament where God chastises. I talked about that a little bit last week. God chastises those whom He loves, just like if Chris didn't love Keaton, he might not chastise him, right? If he needed chastising, not that Keaton ever would. If I didn't love my grandbabies, I might just say, well, I don't care what they do. I don't care that they're back talking their mother or their grandmother. And I might not get involved and say, you need to cool that off a little bit. And, you know, if we have to, we'll get a little rougher on that. Because I love them, I will chastise them or I will correct them when they need a correcting. So what should we expect from God when we need, as a child of His, when we need chastisement or correction or to be humble, should we expect that from God? You know, sometimes people don't understand that the reason that we're going through those things is because God loves us and He's trying to bring us to where He wants us spiritually. You know, as it points out there, I believe it's in the book of Romans, it's okay, it seems good not to chastise a child for a season, but in time you'll see the end result of that and it don't turn out so good a lot of times. And same way with us, it might seem as good for us not to receive any chastisement from God, but if we need it, we need it. And we should expect it. Our expectation should be, God loves me, so He's going to chastise me when I'm getting over here out of bounds in a place where He don't want me to go. He's going to cause something to pull me back on course. And unfortunately, we have to have that sometimes, don't we? Unfortunately, man has a tendency to get to feeling a little bit too good about himself, a little too prideful, a little too uppity, a little too important, a little bit too much like God. And sometimes we have to have, as I call it, a slice of humble pie put right on our plate. So what should we expect from God when it comes to those sort of things? And I already touched on the idea, God has a bigger plan for me than I have for myself. Oftentimes, people are their own worst enemy. In other words, I say that by thinking we'll have these thoughts like, I can't teach a Bible class, I can't preach a sermon, I can't lead singing, I can't say a public prayer. We'll have that lack of confidence to be able to do those things, and that therefore, we are our own worst enemy. We've defeated ourselves before we get started, haven't we? And a lot of times in things in this physical life, we will say, I can't do this, or I can't do that, I can't buy that house over there because I don't know if my job's going to last or what have you. And we'll just defeat ourselves and talk ourselves right out of doing it. God is bigger than we are. And if we ever get that in our mind and realize, if God be for you, who can be against you? Then you'll go out and try to accomplish these things and have great expectations of what God can accomplish through you, and you'll be successful at it. but just always give God the glory and the praise for it. A lot of times people get to feeling too good about what they've accomplished, and they lose sight of the fact that the guy that's really driving this train is the Almighty God. And again, that may cause for a little correction or chastisement in the situation. But believe you me, God has bigger plans for you than you have for yourself. And He can accomplish. We're going to give scriptures that bear that out. This was an interesting quote that I found that I thought was real applicable to our lesson by Elaine Dalton. It says, "Don't let the low standards and expectations of the world and others cause you to aim beneath your nobility and ability. Dream big. What I know and have learned is that anything worth doing is not easy, and that we can do anything that is not easy if we believe." Critical point, if we believe. If we let God help us, if we let God have the glory, if we let God have the helm, so to speak, and say, "God, help me to do this. I don't know if I can do it, but I know that you can do it, and I expect that you will do it through me if it's your will." And again, sometimes we're going to look at it in a few minutes. Sometimes it's not God's will that something happens, and we wrestle with that some too. I was talking to a fellow yesterday that made a real valid point that is applicable here at this slide. And it's funny how you can, I've been working on this sermon all week and wrestling it in my mind, and Brenda's uncle, Billy Eaton, came out yesterday for a little while. He was scoping out a place to dove hunt, and he stopped at the house. We ended up talking about 2.5 hours, and one of the things that he mentioned when we was talking about it's hard to get people to come to church, not just the Lord's church, but in the denominational realm as well. And he said, well, a lot of the reason for that is because the church has let people down. And I had to really process that for a minute. I said, the church has let people down. He said, yeah, but what I mean by that is God's got a standard in His Word, and man has lowered that standard or that bar of what's acceptable unto God. So the world looks at it like, well, all those people that go to church there, they're really not any different than I am. Why would I want to go over there? In other words, the church is expected by God to be different than the world. We've talked about that a lot in the last few weeks. And it seems like that what might be happening is the church is being conformed to the world rather than the world being conformed to the church. And that's a dangerous thing for that to happen. It's a dangerous thing when people go somewhere to find someone to preach that the sin that they're living in is okay, that it's acceptable with God, isn't it? That's a real problem. That should be a real concern to all of us. So again, don't let the low standards and expectations of the world cause you to aim lower. Me and Chris has had a lot of discussions about this. You know, we might say, well, this old boy, he don't lie, cheat, and steal. He's not too bad. And then we might say, well, this guy over here is a lot better. He don't commit adultery. He don't commit fornication. And he's pretty faithful to his wife. Well, all those things will still condemn you. Those will all cause you to be sent to hell if you don't change them. But we have a tendency to ration out in our minds as humans that let's lower the standard, let's lower the bar, let's lower the expectations of what God expects of us, and it'll make it where everybody can make it in, that everybody will be good to go. Well, that's not going to be acceptable in the day of judgment because I think it or because I want it to be that way. That doesn't change the fact that God has set the standard. God is the original standard setter for that which is right and wrong, for that which is acceptable. And whenever we start adjusting that tolerance or that acceptance of things just so we can fill the church building up or what have you, then we're getting off course. We need to understand that. And again, it's real easy for the world to conform the church to it rather than for the church to conform the world to what God wants it to be. And again, our expectations of God may be dependent upon how much we try to walk that walk and talk that talk. Again, if we're not following God, why would we expect anything of God? Why would a child that don't want to have anything to do with his parents, maybe he's not been around them in 10 years, all of a sudden call up and say, "Dad, I need some money"? would he expect to really get some money when he wouldn't have anything to do with his father or his family for 10 years? But sometimes that's how we deal with God, is we're all serve God on my terms, and this is what I'm going to expect of God whenever I happen to need him. The rest of the time, he's just over here on the shelf. He's like an aspirin bottle. I'll take him out whenever I have a headache. That creates a problem with expectations, what we expect of God and what reality is. Reality is you got to serve God to expect things from him. The scripture tells us in Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. Again, things that I see has been impossible, and many times I just couldn't see no way that it could change and go in another direction. God has proven to me that it can change and it can go in another direction. When we think about the course that our nation is on, can it be changed and gone in another direction? Well, sure it can. All it takes is repentance. All it takes is people getting their heart right. All it takes is people acknowledging that God's going to be in control. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He's a sovereign God. And whenever you get outside of his will, don't expect his blessings to be poured out upon you. It's not going to happen. He says that in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Keep my commandments and everything you put your hand to will be blessed. Don't keep my commandments and everything you put your hand to will be accursed. That's simple, isn't it? Why do we have such a hard time with it? Nothing is impossible with God. And again, we can expect great things from God, but we have to be willing to submit our lives to his will. Here's three false expectations that people have. God will treat us all the same. God will give us an easy life if we follow him. God will protect the innocent from pain and suffering. One of the things that causes a lot of people a problem in serving God, and I talk to them and I feel this and I sense this, is that they feel like, well, let's just start out with number one before I get down to that. God will treat us all the same. That says that's a false expectation. I raised three daughters. Not one of them was exactly like the other. They're all individual. They all have individual personalities. They all have different traits and characteristics. That wasn't because of me. That was because of God. He designed them. And we're all that way. We all have some different characteristics and different traits. Learning to work together in unison is one of the biggest challenges with those different traits and characteristics. As a body of Christ, is one of the biggest challenges we face as Christians, I think. But my point is God can't deal with everybody the same because everybody don't listen the same. Everybody don't respond the same to the things that he wants them to do. You think of the story of Jonah. What basically happened with Jonah was he had to have an attitude adjustment, didn't he? Some people that God worked with, they didn't have to have an attitude adjustment, did they? Abraham comes to mind. He was faithful, and his faithfulness was counted righteousness. But now Jonah, when God told him to do something, Jonah thought, well, I'll just take it up on myself not to do what God has told me to do. I got this prejudice towards those people down there at Nineveh, and I'm not going to do it. Well, what happened? He had to have what I call an attitude adjustment or a piece of that humble pie, and God had to show him, now, what I want accomplished is what's going to be accomplished, Jonah. Don't resist that. Don't fight against that. He told the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, why do you kick against the pricks? Why are you kicking against Jesus Christ and the resurrection and salvation? What happened? Paul was turned around, wasn't he? So the point is just like raising my three daughters, I couldn't deal with them all exactly the same because I had different things had to be applied to different ones, same as it is with God and his people. God will give us an easy life if we fall after him. Have you ever found yourself in a position to where you was negotiating with God? As if we're in a position to negotiate with God. I mean, God's God and man is man, and that's probably enough said about that. He created us and spoke us into existence. But sometimes when things are not going the way we want, maybe we've got a loved one that's sick, or maybe we got health problems ourselves, or maybe it's some crisis that we're in, and we start negotiating with God and saying, now God, if you'll help me out of this situation, this tight spot that I'm in, then I'll be a better servant unto you, and I'll follow after you better. That's an attitude as of, God, I'll give you what you want from me, but first, you've got to give me what I want from you. There's a lot of people in the world, now you can believe that or not, maybe you have encountered them, but that's the way they serve God. It's like, what is in it for me if I serve you, God? And is my life going to be better, by the way, if I serve you? Am I going to have a lot more money in the bank and a nicer car and a nicer home and trips to the lake? Is that the way it's going to be? You know, that expectation of God is all misconceived. It's wrong. God will give us an easy life if we follow Him. God never promises a rose garden. Number three, God will protect the innocent from pain and suffering. I think of the story of Job. If you want to, you could apply that to number two and three. You know, Satan accused God, saying that the reason Job serves you is because you've given this abundance of wealth to him, and you put this hedge around him, and he serves you only because of the physical, material blessings that you've bestowed upon him. And God took that challenge, and he said, I don't think that's why Job's serving me. Go to Job and do those things, and we'll see. And Satan told God, he said, he'll curse you to your face. And he took his family, he took all of his abundance of wealth, and he just stripped him of all of his integrity as far as those things go. And his wife, Job's wife, told him, you know, you should curse God and die. And he says, should I not take the bitter with the sweet? He understood that he wasn't serving God contingent upon or based upon how much he'd been blessed with in his life. A lot of people don't get that today. They think that the only if they're going to serve God, they need to have a lot of blessings out of it. You know, when you start doing stuff for other people, when you start doing stuff for other people to help them through this old world, and you're expecting something in return, God is not being glorified. Business is just being conducted. Brenda's brother-in-law brought out a lot of good points about Brenda's dad. He said he was a man that, he said, I seen him go and do stuff for people and wouldn't charge them, wouldn't take a penny. And he said he was a man that wasn't all just about money. He was about doing stuff out of the goodness of his heart to help other people to glorify God. You know, people have a real problem with that today. I'm going to tell you. A lot of people have a real problem with not being able to do something kind for someone to try to help lead them to the Lord without expecting something in return. Everything's not about money. What do we expect from God when we make everything about money and about me getting another fistful of dollars? You know, even the corrupt politicians will scratch your back if you'll scratch their back, won't they? That's just conducting business. So we need to have an attitude as Christians. Do everything with a good heart and expect nothing in return, and you will never be disappointed. And again, I have to say that I think Tommy Sutton was the guy that was that way. He didn't hold it over your head when he done something good or kind for you. It wasn't like, well, you owe me now, I'm going to hold this over your head for the rest of your life. That says volumes, and again, when we do those things, we should count on what God says when He tells us it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We don't need to become a society, a culture, a people, even in the church, that everything is about monetary gain, that everything is about what's in it for me, that everything is about how can I raise myself up a little bit according to the world's standards. We need to say, what does God expect of me when it comes to these things? And then God, He'll take care of the blessing of you if you're doing His will. I had a fellow told me one time, he says, if you do things to help other people, God will bless you threefold for anything you do out of the goodness of your heart. Again, I'm not doing it with that expectation, but I could have that expectation, couldn't I? Because God's able to do that. And I've told you before, we're just a conduit here upon this earth. Money just channels through our hands. We just handle it for a little while, and we pass it on to somebody else. I'm amazed at how much money it takes just to be on planet Earth anymore. I know everybody else is too. we're blessed with a lot, but it takes a lot. It just keeps moving through the conduit, don't it? And I'm sure God's watching to see what we're doing with what's been put into our stewardship to glorify Him. We need to be conscientious of that as we bring this lesson to a close. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Well, let's turn there if you would, and we'll back up to verse 16, because this really drives home the point of the lesson. And this is what Paul told those at Ephesus, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Now we see God's interested in the inner man. The world is interested in the outer man. How nice is your clothes? How nice are your shoes? How nice is your vehicle? How nice is your house? How nice is your boat down on the lake? The world is interested in that, but God is interested in strengthening the inner man. And when our expectations are disappointed, maybe He's working on the inner man. And it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now notice verse 20. Now unto Him, speaking of God, that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Do you ever question what God's capable of doing? You ever tie God's hands and say, I don't think You can do it, God? You might in your lack of faith when you word a prayer. You might in your low expectations of what you expect of God when you call upon Him. You might limit Him. You might, so to speak, tie His hands and say, I don't think You can do it, God. It says in verse 20 there that He's able to deliver far, far more abundantly than anything that we might ask or think. And He does. I thought Andy again brought that out real well in his prayer. We don't even know how much we're blessed sometimes in this great country that we live in. Call on the Lord and expect a miracle. Again, we've seen miracles happen in the last couple of years here. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto Me and I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you believe that as a Christian? 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. When we go to God in prayer and we're asking something according to His will, we should expect that He's going to deliver upon that petition. We should expect that if it's according to His will. Now, if it's just about my own selfish desires or what have you, then that's altogether something else. One thing you can expect from God is salvation, the gift of Jesus Christ. You can certainly have that expectation. Those of us that have already obeyed the gospel, we have that expectation. We have that hope, don't we? Expectation is a lot like hope. We have a strong yearning or desire that something's going to come to be when we expect something. And salvation is offered through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You must hear the Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You must be willing to repent. You must be willing to make that good confession of faith. And you must be willing to be baptized in the watery grave of baptism to be raised up to walk in newness of life. If you do those steps and you're obedient to that plan of salvation, you can expect salvation when this life's over. If you don't, you can't. And that's just as simple as I know how to put it. We have to, Revelations 2:10 tells us we need to remain faithful unto death. If you're here this morning, you've never made a decision to do that, we'd like to offer you the opportunity. Yes, together we stand and as we sing.